Welcome back to Thirst for Knowledge. This is episode 3. My name is Ricky. Today I have with me Willow.
Hey.
John, and a special guest today.
Hey, it's the Ferret.
Thank you for joining us today, Ferret. We have a lot to talk about, though, so let's go ahead and get started. Let's get right into news. We've got future news coming up. We've got GP New Jersey, which is being hosted by Star City Games, and they are pressing the hell out of this thing. 4 hours ago, they updated it. Pre-registrations, they've got a set at 2,445 people, which is bigger than Boston, just sort of Charlotte. So, I mean, this one's going to be big.
Real big.
So with the event, with the website issues that we've been having because of the merging of services with Wizards, I kind of wonder if we're going to have, like, the MTGO kind of meltdown just in Paper World, where all the judges are going to have to be doing this by hand. Can you imagine that?
They are saying that they are trying to hit Vegas-level records here.
Yeah, like 5,000.
If they had to do that by hand, it's just done.
Well, okay, I'm not sure if you guys know how buys are handled. Apparently, each buy exponentially raises the number of, like, phantom opponents. It's not like you just put in one opponent into there for some reason. Let's say someone has three buys. It's not like they just have three phantom opponents that they have to take and allocate into the system. I think it's like there's four opponents for like two round, and then there has to be like 8 or 16 for the third, something like that, for each person.
What?
Strange. Really?
Okay, well, think about it. If you look at like a pairings bracket, like I'll just use the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
Okay. Now imagine if someone were to get three buys. Well, you gotta make those other brackets that lead up to the bracket that the person finally ends up showing up at, rather than just going, oh, well, you have buys. So we just put you in here in the tournament.
Interesting.
Yeah, imagine doing all of that by hand. And even if you only have 100 people with buys, that's still like 800 people that don't exist that have to be put in the tournament.
They've got 3 days to figure this out. If they don't get their stuff together and this all falls apart, like, this is gonna be a huge black eye on Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Star City Games is, like, pressing this event more than usual for their events because it's in New Jersey and no one wants to go to New Jersey?
I think...
Go ahead.
There's a pretty big legacy scene up there, isn't there?
I mean, you know, you're on the East Coast. You have a huge population of legacy players on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And after what happened in Richmond, them hitting 4,300 people on a modern event, I really think they can possibly even break Vegas records if they do it right.
And I think they're trying to show that they want to support Legacy still, so they're really going to push this.
That's a good point, actually, them bringing the Modern into their events. If they do hit 3,600 people, though, apparently they get a prize pool boost. It goes up to 70 grand.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
How much money?
$90,000.
He's like, I'll be going with my standard bird deck.
Did you say $78,000?
No, $70,000.
Oh, okay.
Close enough.
I mean, yeah. I'm not bothered, but I'm not going to bother now. $8,000 less than the prize pool? Not interested.
Done.
A bunch of people from Atomic are going up there, though. It's going to be...
Really? What's Atomic?
It's going to be big. Atomic Empire. It's a store in Durham, North Carolina.
Great store.
All right, so we had a Star City Games Premier IQ, which took place in Columbus.
Yep.
First place for the modern side was taken down by Blue Red Delver. Second place was Jeskai Ascendancy Combo, and third place was Blue Red Twin.
So, four of the top eight decks were U Red Delver, right? Is that four?
Yeah, so we got Blue Red Delver, Blue Red Twin, Blue Red Delver, and Blue Red
Delver. Yeah, Blue Red Twin.
Bunch of Blue Red, so you can turn around and just, let's call it as it is. There was four decks that had Treasure Cruise in it.
Yeah. I mean, granted, the entire top eight was playing red, though.
Mountain's too strong.
The other decks, we've got Red Green Urzatron, Jeskai Control, Jeskai Ascendancy, and Mono Red Burn.
Five decks, then. I forgot. Ascendancy plays it, too. And they also had the SCG event, or not the IQ, but the actual SCG was here in Columbus this last weekend.
Oh, is this where you're from?
Yep. I didn't get to go, though, because my coworker decided he needed the Saturday off, but that's kind of that.
Did you tell him who you are?
No, he actually was nice and covered my butt when I ended up having to get a few teeth removed with no notice, so.
Well, it's a shame you didn't manage to get out there, but I suppose it's nice having people you a favor or two. Let's see. Let's get back to the deck list. So the Blue-Red Delver was piloted by Ben Gothard. Looks like it's pretty stock at this point. We've got 4 Delver, 4 Monastery Swift Spear, 1 Snapcaster Mage, and 4 Young Pyromancer. The 1 Snapcaster Mage, that kind of blows me away. That card has really been a powerhouse, and it just seems to be tapering off.
I mean, you're just cantripping and drawing 3 cards off of Treasure Cruise, and you just
want to be casting spells,
so you don't really want to be flashing them back necessarily, but having the 1 Snapcaster is just versatility.
And see, that's it. You just named it. Treasure Cruise and Snapcaster. They don't quite play too well together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like Snapcaster, so Bolt, Snapcaster Bolt, has just been like a powerhouse in the format for so long, though. It seems strange to see it dying out so quickly.
Well, you'd just rather eat your graveyard and draw 3 cards.
Yeah, drawing 3 cards is better than just casting the same card twice.
I don't entirely know how much I agree with that, though, in the simple fact of simply being... I mean, obviously, results are proving me wrong, but Modern isn't exactly like Vintage, where you're turning around and tutoring for Ancestral Recall. Your power level of the deck just isn't that high, so I'm kind of wondering...
I think they're just trying to get value out of the Young Pyromancer, so casting... They're just trying to... like, draw as many cards as they can, cast more cards. It's the same thing with the Monetary Swift Spear to try to pump him up and swing in. I think people are just wanting to play Treasure Cruise because it's Ancestral Recall and Modern, so that's probably why.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you that. When you start talking about the Swift Spear being in there, it definitely makes more sense. Pyromancer, I have not been too terribly impressed with when I have the proper sideboard cards. Mm-hmm. You just kind of look at them and go, cute.
Is there anything else in the deck you guys want to touch on?
It's pretty stock list. Still like Thought Scour.
Thought Scour with Treasure Cruise is just broken.
I love it.
I was going to say, you know the one card a lot of people haven't been talking about? Although, Quiet Speculation did touch on it, that it's starting to come out of nowhere, was Forked Bolt.
Yeah, Forked Bolt's pretty good. Now that Deathrite Shaman's banned.
Yeah.
Because it just kills dorks and all sorts of little things people are trying to play.
Well, you know, it's really solid. It even turns around and takes and makes it so, like, my Spirit of the Labyrinth, I like to play, not as good. Yeah. Oh, you got 1 power, sorry. Or, I mean, toughness. And here, let's see, Snapcaster has 1 toughness, an early Delver has 1 toughness. It's just, there's so many 1 toughness things running around right now.
Dark Confidant.
He hasn't been seen as much play, but yeah.
I mean, as far as utility creatures in the format, like, there's so many with 1 toughness that, like, Forked Bolt can actually just get people.
Yeah.
So, the number 2 deck, though, I really wanted to touch on this. Jeskai Ascendancy Combo by Robert Graves. It hasn't made a showing up until this point. And, I mean, second place, that is... it's quite a showing.
Showing that it hasn't made a big top 8 until now, and then seeing that there's only this one deck in the top 8 shows that I don't really think Jeskai Ascendancy needs to be banned in Modern, and I think really we need to be focusing on the real problem in Modern, which is
banning Robert Graves.
I'll give you my counter argument to that one, and here's the reason why. Okay, look at the cards that are banned in Modern right now. You've got like Sensei's Divining Top. You've got, which one was it? Open the Vaults for the Eggs deck.
Yep.
Second Sunrise.
Yeah, or Second Sunrise. I knew it was one of them. It for Eggs. And the reason they're banned is because of time considerations. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeskai Ascendancy has that same problem. You're going to do a trigger for every single one of your actions. So you're going to be taking time. So that's disregarding power level. Now, if we want to go with the power level argument, look at Blazing Shoal. That had turn 2 wins as well. Now, the thing about it is that it only had 4 of each card that you can have. You know, you had the 4 shoals and you had the 4, whatever, I'll just call it dragons, you know, in the deck. Mm-hmm. That you toss 2 shoal to make the turn 2 kill. Now, the thing about Jeskai Ascendancy is, I'm not even getting into Glittering Wish, okay? You can have the 4 ascendancies in the deck, and then on the other side of the combo, you can have 12 different creatures that you can combo this with. So the resiliency and of the deck is just that much better than anything shoal was. So on both angles, it's already better than 2 things, well, more than 2 things that have been banned. The card needs to go.
I just don't think the deck would be as powerful if it didn't have Treasure Cruise. If Treasure Cruise wasn't in this deck, the deck really would run out of gas. if you stop their combo somehow, they wouldn't be able to refill their hand as quickly.
Okay, I have to ask you, have you played the deck?
Yes, I've played against the deck.
Okay, yes. How often have you ever ran out of cards, even without having crews?
I mean, not as often as you would think, but still.
Yeah, this isn't like Storm where you just, you go four cards deep and sorry, I'm done. You usually get about a good 8 to 10 looks, and then that's including if you don't even hit a second ascendancy.
So, Ferret, I know you have a lot of experience with kind of fringe decks. I don't know if you've ever heard the deck Weird Mantle. Uses Blister Coil Weird and Paradise Mantle, and it is this exact shell.
Yeah, I'm aware of the deck you're talking about. The problem with that deck was that you didn't get the additional draw.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, that deck was capable of turn 2 kills with much weaker cards in the main slots far before they ever printed Treasure Cruise. So I don't think getting rid of Cruise does anything to it.
Well, to this deck, you know, I mean, if you want to say on this deck, it's all about the fact that you have all these different cantrips. And honestly, the most powerful card, I mean, don't get me wrong, that Treasure Cruise is hands down a powerful card. But for this specific deck, I think Metamorphos is more powerful than Treasure Cruise. Because not only does it cantrip you, it cantrips for free and accelerates you on mana.
It doesn't accelerate you, it just changes.
Yeah, it does.
It accelerates.
It accelerates when you have the Ascendancy active. You have the combo active, it does accelerate. But it's not really acceleration.
It's not mana acceleration.
It just produces mana.
Well, yeah. It produces mana, and then how many ever creatures that you had in play as well will untap.
Well, I would. Yeah. So then, wouldn't Jataxian Probe do the same thing, pretty much, for free?
It costs you life, though.
Well, if you're comboing off, that doesn't matter. And we know life is a resource, but I'm just arguing.
Similar
to me. If you're going to say Metamorphos is the most powerful card, I would say Probe is probably more, so.
Possible. There's enough decks where Metamorphos has done pretty silly things just because it fixes your mana and...
The mana fixing I agree on is probably the most important aspect of that card, especially for this deck.
And let's take a look at a sideboard. Let's see. So the card that sticks out to me are the 4 Leyline of Sanctities. Is that just to stop Thoughtseize and Hand Disruption?
That's very possible. Also, it's a great card against Burn, to be honest.
Yeah. They don't know what's coming, they just have to scoop, and you can take however long you want to win the game.
Well, against Burn, all you end up doing is you just go, okay, well, I have my Leyline down, you can keep burning my creatures all you want until I end up dropping the Caryatid, and then you just go piss all over their Reedies, because there ain't nothing they can do about that.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty neat to see that card, see that deck in the top, because it hasn't been putting up any results.
Well, the reason it hasn't been putting up results, in fairness, is because everybody's playing the Blue-Red Delver deck, which is awesome. Trace on this deck.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that seeing it in the top 8, though, is going to encourage more people to play it, and I think you will start seeing multiple copies of the deck in the top 8.
Not for sure.
What is Flesh? Oh, Flesh and Blood.
Yeah, Flesh.
It's a finisher. Actually, you know what I noticed is, oddly enough, missing from the sideboard? The red-white split card.
Wear and Tear?
Yeah, Wear and Tear. And so they have, like, Abrupt Decay in there.
I wonder if that's a result of Wear and Tear being broken on MTGO for so long.
I doubt it one bit, to be honest with you. They have finally fixed that, though, so that's good. Instead, we just have Geist of St. Traft broken.
What's wrong with Geist of St. Traft?
Well...
Oh, it's exiling all the Angel Token.
Yes! I was so pissed about that. I found that the hard way during a tournament. Go to attack with 2 angels, they're both gone. What?
Okay, I think it's time for us to take a quick break. First, we have a pack to give away on Twitter. Our Twitter account is the letter T, the number 4, the letter K, podcast. T for K podcast on Twitter.
All right, guys, here's what's up. If you want to be able to get a free pack, here's how you do it. You take this week's tweet for the cast, retweet it, and follow, and you might be able to win. If you win, we will DM you with the information for you to send us your information so we can get you the pack.
All right, we are back. Let's hop right back into things. I linked y'all LSV's deck list from May.
Yeah, it's from a while ago.
Yeah. I just kind of wanted to compare the two, see what's kind of changed.
Well, we now have Treasure Cruise, and Treasure Cruise, and Treasure Cruise.
That, and things are coming a little more inbred with, you know, things like Alatricory rather than, oh, God, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. Electrolyze. So, stuff like that going on.
So he was running built Electrolyzes.
Oh, well, wow, I did not notice that there was not Electrolyze in this deck.
The new deck, yeah. It's too expensive.
Is it Charm is another one I don't necessarily see ran these days.
Also, Reman seems to have gone away.
You know, I find that quite interesting, because you would think remanding a Treasure Cruise is just... That's almost hilarious. As good as taking, and you, what I do in Vintage, where you go Ricochet Trap on someone's Ancestral, and the look on their face is priceless.
Yeah, you know, Remand is pretty good against that, actually. Very good.
It's better than just straight-up Counterspell.
Yeah.
A lot better than just Counterspell.
Good point, Barrett.
So in the sideboard, he had 4 Dragon's Claws. Now, I mean, that was obviously a very good call, because of all the top 8 decks, all 8 of them were playing red.
Yeah.
Still seems very strange to me to see that card in a winning deck list.
I mean, you know, there was a lot of people saying the same thing with the MTGO results, but there's just that much red out there.
That card is a really house. That card is a house against Burn.
Is yeah. Modern really getting this inbred?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like my blue-white deck that I play for fun at player run events, I have the core Firewalkers in my sideboard, and I've been considering putting them main. It just is that bad.
That's painful. That makes me sad, because Modern has been so robust in the decks you could play. To see it stagnate like that is just kind of...
Yeah, really. Jund and Pod.
No.
That was really fun.
I also had Scapeshift.
Scapeshift was just recently, so...
What do you mean recently? Scapeshift's been around since the beginning of the format.
Yeah, but it was gone for a while.
Okay, maybe in the paper meta, but definitely not MTGO.
Yeah, well, it could be true.
I mean, you also have... I mean, there's a 10 Fins deck in the format.
Nah.
A 10 Fins deck capable of a turn 1 kill.
Capable doesn't mean consistent.
It's not consistent. I understand that.
I don't even know where to try to go with that one. Yeah, I suppose it's in the format, but that's kind of like saying that Soul Sisters is a real deck, too. Which, unfortunately, in MTGO, because of all these damn Delver decks, is actually doing well. And I, for one, have never lost to Soul Sisters in
20 years.
God smite me down when I finally do. I don't know how people lose that deck.
You know, I have lost that deck one time, and it was because I decided to run Burn for FNM.
That served you right then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I had been talking to Kevin Metal, actually, from Heavy Meta, about a 3-color Burn deck, and I thought I had it together, and then round 2, run into Heavy Sisters.
Oh, no, there you go. That is the new name of the deck. I love it.
Heavy Sisters.
I can teach y'all something about that deck.
This is so far off the rails.
It's okay. It doesn't matter.
This is our podcast, and we'll do what we want to do.
Heard that.
Oh.
Sorry, anyway, you should have expected this.
All right, let's go ahead and transition over to our new segment, the Jank Tank. It's a segment devoted more towards casual Magic, fresh brews, fun deck ideas. We've got 2 decks lined up for you today. Ferret's got a blue-white deck, and I've got a blue-black deck. For the Jank Tank, the thing I wanted to discuss was one of the new cards we just got from the new Commander product that just released. And I kind of touched on it last week. It was Wake the Dead. So it's an instant spell. It's mass reanimation. It's black, black, X for an instant. Cast Wake the Dead only during combat on an opponent's turn. You return X target creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield, and then you sacrifice those at the beginning of the next end step.
So you put together a Legacy deck for us, Ricky?
I'm actually currently working on something. I haven't had a chance to actually put the deck list together, but I've got some interesting cards.
We can mention it.
What are you going to be playing Wake the Dead with? Stifle, so you can kill the second trigger?
No, you just get value out of enter the battlefield effects. And
That's not going to be legacy winning.
It's the giant tank. It's terrible. It's all the stuff that Ricky thinks about when he's in the shower. Okay.
Ricky's shower thoughts.
No, I think there's a lot of power behind Wake the Dead. I was actually wrong when I was talking about it, and I mentioned that you could bring back Kiki Jiki and Zealous Conscripts and then combo out and kill them. If you make the tokens at the end of your turn with that trigger on the stack, those tokens are going to last until the end of your next turn, and you actually have infinite tokens, well, not infinite, but you have near infinite tokens to swing in and kill them with.
Okay.
And that is 4 mana.
Fair enough, but how are you going to get all of that into the yard?
I mean, you can mill yourself, so you can run things, like Balustrade Spy. I mean, you could almost dredge yourself.
Easier, and you just go with, I wanted to say Entomb, but no, that's only one creature. There's a Disturb, no, not Disturb Burial. What is it? There's one that puts 3 creatures into the graveyard. It's 3 mana.
Buried Alive.
Buried Alive. There you go.
That makes sense. Then,
you're still dealing with Force of Will in that format, and if Wake the Dead is your primary plan.
Welcome to the Jank Tank.
So the deck that I'm working on is actually Blue-Black.
Okay.
Oh, so you can force their force, duh.
Well, if it's blue-black, I'll even help you. Put Muddle and Mixture in the deck, then you can actually tutor up Wake the Dead.
Oh, this is one of the, Transmute cards.
Yeah.
Correct. And it's
That's
a counter.
Hilarious, so actually.
It does double duty.
There you go, Ricky.
Counter-target spell, instant sorcery spell, transmute for 1 of blue-blue, search and get something with 2 converted mana costs. That's really interesting. I mean, the card is super strong. So if you have a Turn of Witness in your graveyard, I mean, granted, you're just pulling one thing back, but for 3 mana, you can pull the Eternal Witness out, have a blocker, and then cycle through.
True. Saying the card's not powerful. I'm just saying, how are we going to get it quick enough in Legacy? That's all.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand. But, I mean, it is a combo deck. But I think that the potential for value is there. I mean, it's just constant recursion. The things you can do with it are just obscene.
Actually, tell you what. A fun one that you can get? Wake the Dead, and go full Project X on somebody. If you're familiar with the Project X deck.
No, not familiar with this deck.
Okay. First, you have Safi...
Eric Star?
Yes. And then you have, there's a zombie, which when it comes into play, it brings a 2-mana or less creature from your graveyard back into play. I just can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Crypt Champion? Oh.
Yes, Crypt Champion. So, those two just keep looping each other. Then you have any other effect that takes and procs on when something dies or comes into play. So, if you really even wanted to, you can have that in pretty much anything that even sacrifice creature get, you know, an effect. Because you can still sacrifice the creature, the Crypt Champions. So, any number of things. Just trying to think, is Goblin Bombardment the one I was thinking that you sacrifice to do 1 damage?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do have, like, Goblin Bombardment, you can have Pandemonium, if you really wanted to do, or Pandemonium-style effect.
And, I mean, there's interesting things you can do. If you have a Wasteland in your bin, you can Wasteland lock them. For X equaling 2, you can bring back the Sun Titan, grab the Wasteland, bring back the Eternal Witness, grab your Wake the Dead, and then just lock them.
Okay, but why don't I just take and grab the Grave Titan, which grabs my Crucible of Worlds that's in the graveyard?
Why don't I just play Delver turn 1 and flip it turn 2 and start bashing you in the face for 3?
I really wish they would ban Delver.
No, I'm just being fishies. Yeah, that ferret.
Ferret? That word's not coming out. I'm just being a ferret.
For some reason, could not say facetious at the moment, so I'm just like, whatever, I'm being a ferret.
It's cool, I forgive you, ferret.
Yeah. You can go with, like, the blue-white mid-range modern deck that's a piece of jank as far as the meta is concerned.
Okay. You want to go over that deck list?
Sure. The deck has 4 Snapcasters, 3 Geists, 3 Wall of Almonds, 2 Baneslayers, 2 Meddling Mage, 2 Night Vale Spectres, 2 Thassas for my creature base. The idea there is... Thassa is just a good value card anyway, because you can descry every turn. And you can either make, like, Baneslayer or Geist unblockable. And if you've ever connected to someone's face with a Baneslayer, you just know how good that feels.
Feels so good.
So good.
The worst creature out of those, I would probably say, believe it or not, is actually Night Veil Spectre. And I would probably end up replacing it with Core Firewalkers, considering the meta lately. Now, my spells that I've been running, this is where things start getting a little hairy. Okay, first we've got Path X out. You know, hey, whatever, par for the core. Deprive, two of those. So, the Deprive, it's your counterspell. Brings back land, eh, give or take on that one. But Familiar's Ruse. Now, a lot of people don't necessarily know this card from Dolora Windblock. Blue-blue, return a creature from your from play to your hand as part of its cast, as part of its cost. So if someone's trying to do, trying to kill one of your creatures, save it by bringing it back to your hand, and there's not dick they can do about it. So,
seems kind of mean with Meddling Mage.
One of my favorite things, oh yeah, I forgot the two Meddling Mage are in there too. Sorry about that. Which is not a common card in the format, but, you know, here, let's see, if you're against Scapeshift, what do you call? You call Cryptic Command, or you call Scapeshift. Pretty easy. It's kind of a catch-all. I like it. And then another interesting one that I've been doing with Familiar's Ruse is then people will take and do things like Supreme Verdict to be able to get rid of either like my Baneslayer or my Meddling Mage. And it's just like, nope, sorry, that's back to my hand. Let's see what else. There's two detention spheres. They're kind of the catch-all again. Those probably could be engineered explosives these days just because of the Delver Pyro game. Muddle of the Mixtures, as I mentioned earlier, that the Transmute for it, they're just pretty much a tutor for everything in the deck because almost the entire deck's two cost. Two Supreme Verdicts. Gee, did I mention Pyro Delver yet? Then you got one Momentary Blink. It's a value card to possibly go with to save any of your creatures or like Wall of Omens or to get extra use out of your Snapcaster. And then one Trick Bind. Now, Trick Bind doesn't see a whole lot of play in Modern, but you can either like hit a land on someone early or mid to late. You can end up stifling or trick binding the removal trigger on Geist and keep that 4/4 Angel out.
I like that.
And then you just get the mana base, which is, not the mana base. We've still got Veldekin Shackles, which it's a blue deck. You kind of expect it.
I do like seeing that card. That card just seems criminally underplayed.
Shackles? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, and once again, Pyro Devil, I'll take your Pyro. Thank you. The mana base is pretty standard. You get 6 islands, 4 Flooded Strands, 4 Glacial Fortress, 4 Hollowed Fountains, 4 Reflecting Pools, and 2 Plains. Two of those pools probably could be Cavern of Souls if I really needed to, but I haven't had the need so far.
Or so, you are running a lot of counter spells.
Yeah, exactly.
Alright, and let's go over your sideboard.
The sideboard. I have 4 Core Firewalkers just because, well, there's Burn. Burn everywhere. Along with that, 2 Leyline of Sanctities, kind of to be expected. 3 Spirit of the Labyrinth. What's nice about them is the Pyro Devil decks, they pretty much have to waste a removal spell on it or not be able to draw. Either I'm beating them to the face for 3 whenever I can, or it's just taking and eating some spell or another. 2 Stony Silence, just because there are, you know, still the pod decks, and then also Tron. Then you've got 1 Worship in the sideboard, believe it or not. It's just a card people don't expect. And I've actually been able to catch people off guard doing the whole, hi, I'm sorry, you can't kill me. Because you have to take care of all of my creatures.
I love Worship. I love that card. I remember playing a 9th edition draft and drafting 2 of those in my deck. And no one knew how to beat it.
Yeah, well,
that seems really hard to deal with.
It's real fun, too, when you start going, okay, I'm going to Worship and Veldekin Shackles, so now not only do you have to kill all my creatures, you have to take yours, too, or make sure that they're still... I can't take them. Here, let's see. And then continuing on here. All right, then 1 more Supreme Verdict. Once again, Pyro. 1 Rest in Peace, which probably should become two, and the two or three, some taking some numbers from the spirit and the stony silences, just because of all the decks that, you know, Tarmo Twin, it'll keep the Tarmos down, and, well, Treasure Cruise is pretty much in every deck now. And then one relic, Progenitus. That's kind of it.
It seems like you want the Stony Silence, though. There's a lot of affinity still around.
Yeah, but the thing about this, the affinity, the only card that it truly shuts down from them is the Ravager and Plating. So it's not like they can't still have pretty reasonable attacks.
Seems fair.
Wait, Rick, you said this was our third podcast, and we only have one online?
Yeah, there's only one online.
There's one.
There's one missing.
There's one missing. missing. In a world.
It might eventually come out if I manage to edit it down to 3 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
3 minutes of just, like, us talking about something relevant, and the rest of the time us complaining about Ricky not being organized.
So anyways, what have you all been up to in Magic?
Fighting the MTGO client with the trading and issues it's been having.
Yeah, I could never get into MTGO.
Yeah, well, the MTGO Ferret, but, you know, yeah, I'm the delivery guy for MTGO Academy. And, well, the client isn't as bad as it once was, but it's still not quite there at all.
It's never
they've
been
had 10
there.
Years to get this they've had 10 years to get MTGO to be a polished something. And, yeah. Well, I realize that they've had 4 different clients, but it's still 10 f***ing years. I don't care what you do to get there. Get there. At this point, yeah. There's no excuse anymore.
It doesn't seem too unreasonable to ask that.
Considering the amount of money they make from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Wizards says that they don't consider Hearthstone to be a competitor, but then on the survey they sent out, the last, like, half of the survey was devoted to just asking questions about Hearthstone.
Well, see, that's not a competitor. They didn't consider it a competitor when it first came out, and then they realized, oh, crap, we lost half of our user base. Let's see what all of our big streamers are streaming. Oh. Maybe it is a competitor. You're an awesome guy, and I know you try to do what you can, but let's start paying our programmers a little bit more.
And actually hiring.
And possibly actually pay for relocation fees. That way you're not to a small pool of people.
I think the awesome thing about Hearthstone compared to MTGO is you can essentially, like, draft Hearthstone for $2. Mm-hmm. And versus playing, like, complete, like, total, like, paper value of, like, drafting Magic cards, I would much rather pay $2.
Yeah. See, the reason why they can't really do that with MTGO,
it's too late.
Unless they were going to do it with only Phantom events, is you can actually redeem the stuff that you open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what I told Maddie the other day, because he was asking about, you know, what should I do to be able to get sets and whatnot. And then I told him, you know, hey, go get a foil set of cons before it goes up. Because the bottom line is right now you can get a foil set for about $300, and you're going to pay about $800 in paper for that.
Seems like a heck of a markup.
Well, that's paper and foils for you. It's great. I mean, what is Treasure Cruise in paper foil right now?
It's like $25.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can get that online for $1, I think.
A foil Treasure Cruise online is $1.
Something like that. Let me double check.
That's absurd.
I mean, who cares about foils online, really? I mean, honestly, if you're trying to get sets, that's the easiest way to do it. Because, like, people don't care as much about foils.
3 cents.
Say 3 cents?
One card that's, like, super expensive.
Foil is 30 cents.
30 cents.
That's absurd. All right, so anything else you guys want to go over?
Oh, yeah, I have my ending segment that I wanted to do. Again, this is the same game we played last week. Who would win a drinking contest?
Well, I guess I lose.
between Ricky and the Squire.
What on earth?
I gotta look that card up.
You have to look up the whoa, wait. You have to look up Squire.
It's so bad he's never even heard of it.
He's not that bad.
He's a 1-2 for 2.
Yeah, but he's a human soldier. Value.
Value.
But the question is who's Squire is he? Because, you know, depending on whose square he is, he might
Chaucer's.
Be really...
Chaucer's.
Yeah.
I think the Squire would tear Ricky up in a drinking contest.
He does have two toughness. I mean, I think Ricky won against... Ricky won against Norrin the Wary, right?
Yeah, he did. Okay. Ricky won against Norrin.
Squire?
Squire? It's tough. It would come down to what they're drinking.
I don't like this segment.
Miller Lights.
Miller Lights. Ricky might have that. He can,
Miller
he can
Lights.
Drink like two Miller Lights.
Ricky, how do you feel about this?
Squire already looks pretty wasted, not gonna lie.
It's true.
A wasted Squire seems like a very dangerous thing to have.
Oh crap. We didn't even read the card. Of 20 year of age he was, he can't even drink yet. Alright, Ricky, you win.
You
congratulations.
Win, Ricky.
The guy in that picture looks like he's at least 50.
20 year of age he was, I guess.
He can't even buy a beer yet, man.
You win, so. Ricky. Congratulations. That's you're 2 for 2.
2 for 2. Look at 2-0. Okay. Ricky's 2-0 in the drink game. I have to start getting some.
Wait, I didn't listen to the end of the podcast.
Ricky,
did you cut that off, Ricky?
Or grizzly bear.
No, I didn't. Grizzly bear.
That's a bear.
Now we're getting grizzly bears drunk.
Exactly, it's a bear.
A bear
it's
is
got
a lot bigger than Ricky.
Power.
Grizzly.
Yeah, I think you that. That would be a grisly occasion for Mr. Rick. I think he would get his ass drunk on a table by a fucking bear. I'm pretty sure my dog could drink more beer than Ricky, so I'm pretty sure a bear could drink more beer than Ricky.
Wow.
Alrighty.
Alright, yeah.
That's all right, for knowledge.
So, do you guys have any shout-outs to do?
Nah.
Ferret?
No.
All right,
shout out my awesome boss, I guess, because he lets me take and do stuff like this while working. So, Chris, you're awesome.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. And I want to... Oh, I do want to shout out Heavy Meta. Congratulations on episode 100. We're a little late on the congratulations, but nonetheless. Also, I want to shout out Discovery Channel.
Okay. I love the Shark Week.
Shark Week.
So are we shouting out Discovery Channel just because they're doing stuff like Naked and Afraid?
No.
You realize that's actually blurred out, right?
I'm shouting out Discovery Channel because of they're trying to up themselves from Shark Week. Paul Rosalie, I think I'm saying his name right, he's a New Jersey guy who apparently fed himself to a 30-foot anaconda, and they're going to air the video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Shout out to Discovery Channel for pushing the edge a little bit.
Just a little bit, but I'm really interested to see how they're going to up themselves next year.
Yeah.
Wait, is the guy... Wow, cool.
Who knows, they'll probably get Sir Mix-a-Lot, and then the Anaconda, and then Anaconda don't want none unless you got one.
That's true.
Wow.
That's true. Ferret knows.
Alright,
I'm going to do my shout outs to... Edge of Soccer for streaming and shout outs to Jar Fabiano for never mulligan and shout outs to Lay's Potato Chips for making them Southern Heat Barbecue joints.
Well, I'm gonna be Ferret as Ferret is and interrupt you. I'm sorry, but AJ Soccer is he actually has me blocked on Twitter.
Shout outs to AJ Soccer for streaming and and being a gangster and no giving a about no ferrets. No offense, Ferret.
That's all good.
Yeah, that's good for me. I'm good on that.
If he blocked him, though, I think he does.
Nah, he was like, I ain't dealing with no haters.
Shout outs to 343 Industries for releasing Halo Master Chief Collection today.
Yeah, shout outs to them. Shout outs to all the veterans. Happy Veterans Day.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, good call.
Jumping out on that one.
Look at you guys slipping and shit. Shout outs to me for eating some breakfast burritos earlier. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Shout outs to Ricky for going 2-0.
Yeah, Ricky, 2-0, congrats, man. On a roll.
Alright, so Ferret, I want to thank you for coming on today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Ferret, you're the man.
Thank you, Ferret.
He's the Ferret.
You are my favorite small furry creature, right?
You're my favorite cat snake.